Revelation 22, 20 and 21, those numbers on those little screens of my phone are just tiny. They're bad enough in the Bible, but when I look up on my phone, man, those things are just... No, I need a magnifying glass. I remember years ago, does anybody here know what the OED is? In fact, they've stopped publishing it. They said there will never be another one published on paper. It's done. The Oxford English Dictionary. It is the official dictionary of the English language. It has every single word in the English language from the first time it was ever used up to its modern usage with every change, possible change in it or way that it has been used. It is something like 20 volumes, something like that. And I'm talking 4-inch volumes. It takes a whole shelf of a library all by itself. And I was at this, I went to a professor once with a question about a word, and he goes, well, let me look it up in the OED. And he pulls down this little set that was like this wide, 2-volume set. I go, oh, you have the abridged version. He goes, no, it's the full one. And he opened up a drawer in the bottom of the thing, and there was not a magnifying glass, but like a microscope in there. And he laid it out and started moving this thing. That's what I need for the regular print anymore. Revelation 22, 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, here's my question as we finish the book of Revelation. I remember a number of years ago, I was speaking here, 26 years ago, right about now, in the springtime, in the winter. One of the first things I did, I came in November, and it was Christmas. It was Thanksgiving the next Sunday, and then it was Christmas. And then after Christmas, in the spring, I began a series on Revelation. And very quickly, I heard from a great number of people, why is he preaching on all this doom and gloom, Jesus coming back? And from a certain perspective, you have to say that what they said makes sense. If you read the book of Revelation, it is going to be a time of horror. There has never been a time anything like what will take place around the events of the return of Christ. There will be death on a scale that has never been contemplated before. As horrific as World War II was, the most destructive war in the history of the world, it only killed 60 million people. Now, you look at that number and you say, my word, 60 million people? That's astronomical. But when compared with what we see in the book of Revelation, the death of first a quarter of the world's population, in today's numbers, that is 1.7 billion people. That 60 million is a rounding error. 60 million is 0.006 billion people. We're talking about 1.7 billion people in just the first wave of judgments. More in the second, and even more in the third. Why would people not say, oh, stop this doom and gloom? Why would anyone want him to come? Why would not the response in Revelation be, yes, I'm coming soon, and the response be, no, need to see the vast divergence between those who hate God and those who love Him. To those who hate God, the coming of Christ will be the worst possible event in human history. Not only will it bring death and destruction upon the enemies of God, but it will also mean ultimately that every one of them, from Satan on down, will finally have to utterly submit. They will crawl on their knees before Him and bow their heads and acknowledge Jesus is Lord. But I want to give four reasons why those who love Christ should never consider the return of Christ to be a thing of horror. If you are saying, oh, the return of Christ, that's doom and gloom, then you are not one of His. Because there are four reasons why His always see it as a wondrous thing. First of all, we get to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul teaches this church that has had so little training about the return of Christ. And he says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. There is a day when we will leave this world behind. We'll be gone. Now, Revelation talks about that. Notice what it says in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God, and He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. You know, when I was 16 and was just saved, the thought of no more pain wasn't a really big thing, because pain was a very occasional thing in my life. Even in my 30s, pain was simply something that you put up with from time to time. Now, pain is a daily visitor, isn't it? There are a bunch of us here that could say the same thing. It's not your back, it's your knees. It's not your knees, it's your shoulder. Yes, it is. And you know, if it's none of those things, it's the teeth. And when your teeth hurt, you really hurt. Oh, the there'll come a day when there's no more rain. I honestly don't know how anyone ages without Christ. To think that you would live in the body that you get as you get older, without the hope that this is going to come to an end and I have a home built in the heavens, an eternal body, I don't know how you face that. I don't know how you live at my age and go, wahoo, I might live another 30 years and be in a nursing home. Oh, but to know that we will be with the Lord and there will be a day when there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. Second of all, there'll finally come a day when justice will be done. How often we see injustice, just report after report coming out about, and let's be honest, until very recently, until the Obama administration, the U.S. was one of the most just nations. It wasn't perfect, and there was so much to be going on, but the justice system at least was the best in the world. And to see that destroyed. But even in the best human system, there's always injustice. The guilty get away. Remember the Teflon Don? They just couldn't get an indictment to stick. If they had him dead to rights, the jury would come back and they'd find out later that the jury was threatened or bribed, or they couldn't get an indictment against him. There's always injustice in this world, but there's coming a day. Look at what Revelation 6:10 cries. We have brothers and sisters across the world today that feel this pinch even worse than we do. We had a discussion in Sunday school a while ago, and they were saying, well, there's persecution here in the U.S., and there is some. And it's growing. But we do not yet face what many of our brothers and sisters around the world face. We do not face what the missionaries who were here last Sunday, face. That if your neighbor knew with any kind of guess at all that you were a Christian, you'd probably be dead before the day was out. Your children would be taken and tortured in front of your eyes. We have brothers and sisters who are living in exactly that. And notice what it says in Revelation 6, beginning at verse 9. Revelation 6, 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. How long? How long will justice be denied? How long will injustice reign? How long will judges be corrupt? How long will the system be rigged? Did your child have trouble getting into college? Maybe it's because you didn't bribe coaches to $500,000 to put them on the crew team. How long will injustice reign? How long before someone says enough? Did you see the news just today? Just today. A group of people were marching through the streets in the Capitol, shouting, America, get out of Venezuela. Let Venezuela's dictator go on ruling. And the people sitting there going, hey, he was elected long ago. We should stay out of it. he's the right person to rule. How long will this stupidity go on? I will be perfectly honest. I grew up at the very end of the Cold War. It was my privilege to come of age, and the first president that I got to vote for was Ronald Reagan. Who stood up to communism and said enough is enough. And to think that people in America would be marching in the street for pro-communism, the most brutal. People say, there's more people been killed for religion than any other thing on earth. No, that's not true. More people have died for atheism. Let's just ring up the tally. 50 million, 50 million people killed by Stalin alone. 10 to 30 million killed by Mao Zedong. 6 million by Pol Pot. That says nothing about all the communist aggressions and destruction that was wrought across the continent of Africa and in South America and in Cuba. How long? How long? And that leads us to our third reason. Not only will there be justice, but when there is justice, there will finally be peace. We live in a day in which, as the Bible predicted, people say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. We have people in our Congress crying out for Israel to be sanctioned, yet Israel once again faces rockets being launched into their towns. The violence across Africa waxes and wanes, but comes in such horror that a nation like Rwanda, 6 million people and 2 million killed in 4 months. One out of every three people in the nation killed by their neighbors. Can you imagine in the United States living in a time when 110 million people in the U.S. were murdered by their neighbors? That's what happened in Rwanda. We could go on and on, whether it's ISIS, whether it's the caliphate, whether it's eco-terrorists, or whether it's drug cartels, the violence just escalates around the world. There is good news. Turn with me to Isaiah 9:6. Those wondrous verses that are read at Christmas. Those wondrous verses that declare Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Jesus comes for the first time in human history, there will be real peace. For the first time since the Garden of Eden lay in the rearview mirror, there will be peace. He will be the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that. Look at what it goes on to say. Look over at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. Isaiah 11:6. The wolf will live with the lamb. Isaiah 11:6. And the leopard will lie down with the goat. And the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Oh, I long to see the day when... did anybody see the story? You know, working at an elementary school, I see way too many cartoons. But I believe it's the third Toy Story, when all the toys are given to the little girl, and at the end the little girl's sitting there, and there's this stuffed lion, and there's Woody, and there's all the sitting around the table having tea. Can you imagine that day when it's for real? And here's the three-year-old, and she leads the lion in. You sit right down there. Here comes this bear, you know, kind of looking stupid with a little hat on his head going, do I really have to do this? Now you sit down over there, Mr. Bear. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Oh, what a day. How many children will go to bed abused today? How many parents fear for a child kidnapped, sold into white slavery today? How many horrors will go unnoticed and unrecorded and just be a mystery that no one knows today? For the first time, there will not be one abused child. There will not be one crying parent. Oh, what a day that will be. There will finally be peace. Last of all, there will be the city of our longing. There will be the city of our longing. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 13. In summarizing the lives of those saints of the Old Testament, this is the summary that the writer of Hebrews gives their lives. He says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. That's an important statement because the Bible says, he who perseveres or endures, or however else it's translated, to the end will be saved. Oh, I know so-and-so saved because he made a profession of faith when he was 13. No. He who would be saved must endure to the end. Hebrews 11:13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Do you ever just feel strange? Man, the longer I live and the more crazy our society becomes, the more I just feel like I don't even know what's going on. I look at people and I shake my head and I go, how can you even think that? It's just so foreign. People who say such things. Now it's not just talking about them. Now he's generalized and he said, you and me too. He says, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. There's too many Christians, or people at least who call themselves Christians today, that think they can find what's missing here. There is no country of our own here. It doesn't exist. There are some that are better and some that are worse, and we should work to make where we are the best that it can be, but even still, it'll never be our country. It'll never be fully submitted to the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. It says, verse 15, if they had been thinking of that country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. It's been said many times, and I know that a number of you have quoted this and have adopted it, and why not give Jesus a try? The devil will take you back any day of the week. You can always go back. Do you know what the difference between Christianity and everything else on earth is? Everything else on earth is addictive. It traps you. It holds you. It keeps you. And so we have workaholics. Work can trap you. We have addicts of every stripe and flavor. There's never been a true Christianity addict. Oh, there are religion addicts. I've known people that have lived for Christ for decades and one day just woke up and said, nope, and disappeared. I'll bet you have too. You see, we can always go back. If they'd been thinking of that country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. You see, that's the person that says, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm sick. Of the wickedness I see around me. I'm sick of the evil I feel within my own soul. And you know the wonderful thing is, here's the wonderful thing, God is going to make us so that those of us who know Him will be fitted for that city. Look with me over at 1 John. Look with me over at 1 John, and we're almost done. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Do you ever feel torn? Do you ever struggle? If you're sitting there going, not me, then there's a sin you better start looking at. It's called lying. First John 3, let's begin right at the beginning of it. 1 John 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And I could say the opposite is true. The reason that we think the world is so bad is because we do know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. listen to this, and what we will be has not yet been made known. I do not know what it is that I'll be, and neither do you. You and I live in this land of shadows and halfways and being tugged and pulled and fighting and struggling. What we will be has not yet been made known. Can you imagine living in a day when there's no more struggle with sin? When temptation isn't? But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Oh, may that day come quickly. May that day come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's bow together. Oh God. Wow. I thank You that we can look to the return of Christ and not go, oh, what doom and gloom. We can look to what will become, and we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, how horrible that there will be that great rebellion that will bring such judgment. Oh, that people will be so hard-hearted that it says that even though they are suffering so, they will not repent. Oh, so horrible that people could be so fixated on their own evil that they would say, we will not have this man to reign over us. How wonderful it is. When all of that is over, there will be a city where there will be no more pain and no more sorrow. That there will be an earth where there will not be a single hurting child. There will not be a single crack-addicted mother. There will not be someone trolling on the internet. Or lurking in the shadows. There will be no more pain or sorrow or fear or loss. Oh God, thank You that that day is coming. Thank You that Jesus will return. Thank You that there will be justice. There will be peace. There will be a time when there's no more destruction anywhere in the world. There will be the city of God where those who love Him can dwell. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.